You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 29th of July 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I want to talk a little bit about freedom of speech, and particularly how it's dealt with in Britain, and we'll also look at how it's dealt with in America. And this is because there's talk at the moment of involving Ofcom in regulating BitChute in particular as a platform which provides an outlet for people to speak their mind, basically. There was a time when you could speak your mind on Twitter, you could speak your mind on Facebook, you could make videos explaining how you felt, giving your opinions, and put them on YouTube. Not any longer. More and more, if your opinions and your thoughts don't go along with current government policies in certain areas, then they will try to remove you. And they will use the excuse of hate speech. And in most cases, not all, but in most cases, people have had all their work removed without there ever being a legal case against them to show that they had actually broken the law in any way. And BitChute was produced as a solution to this. And I didn't know this for a while, actually, but the actual name BitChute itself, I thought, well, what is this name BitChute? Why did they call it that? Well, because it was like a parachute. So when YouTube shot down your plane, you could escape in a parachute and escape to safety. Effectively, you could remove your content and put it all on BitChute. And when this is talked about in the press, they just like to use all this hyperbole, vile, spewing anti-Semitism, white supremacist, neo-Nazi, all this sort of stuff. And it detracts from the fact that some people have often put hours and hours of work into producing a short program explaining their take on the world, just explaining how they see the world. Now, obviously, freedom of speech has to have certain restrictions on this. You can't be inciting violence, inciting a mob to go and attack somebody. And we've always had laws that are against that. And since immigration into our countries, they've basically changed these laws to try and tighten up on people criticizing what is effectively government policy. And they do that by trying to make it seem as if the people that are complaining about these government policies are in actual fact aiming all their aiming their dislike at the immigrants rather than at the policies. And they do this by pretending that people that are opposed to immigration just don't like the colour of people's skin, which is a really ridiculous argument when you think about it. But I was looking today at the Public Order Act in Britain. Well, before we get into that, let me just point out something else about BitChute. There is an argument that because this is a public platform, because places like YouTube are a public platform, and people are just putting their views up there, they're just putting their opinions up there, it's the same as a telephone conversation. It's the same as a private conversation. People don't have to look at your views. They're not forced to look at them. Ofcom are involved in television and radio because people have no choice but to watch what the television provides for them. There's only a certain number of channels. When Ofcom were set up, I don't know how old they were, but we originally only had four channels over here in Britain. And if you wanted to watch the television, you were limited to whatever the television channels put up. So Ofcom were brought in to regulate that. When you've got something like YouTube, you're not limited at all to just four channels or 100 channels that are being produced by these corporate entities. What you're effectively doing there is you've got a broad section of the public. You can choose to listen to any member of the public's point of view. And essentially, it's the same thing on Twitter or Facebook. So the argument is that Ofcom should not be involved in private conversations and policing private conversations and what people say. And as I just pointed out, essentially it comes down to people that are critical of certain government policies are the ones that get removed, that get told that their voice can't be heard. And in a democracy, everybody's voice is supposed to be heard. Now, I'm not saying people that are breaking the law, who are inciting violence or who are inciting hatred against any protected minorities. I mean, you shouldn't incite hatred against anyone. And we're quite clear here at Radio Albion that we are not intending to incite hatred against anyone or any minorities. We are trying to effect change in government policy to benefit the indigenous peoples of Britain and the indigenous peoples of Europe. The way that we do that is by pointing out the harmful effects of government policy. And in order to point out the harmful effects of government policy, you have to point to what's going on in the news and draw connections between that and the government policy itself. That may portray immigrants in a bad light because they may have been involved in certain crimes. The crime statistics may show that they are more involved in crimes. They may be involved in terrorism. And all these things are also shown on the television because we have no choice but to discuss the news that we are shown. And it's essentially the same news. It's essentially the same news sources. They all pass through Reuters. They all pass through the Associated Press. And if the television can't be accused of inciting hatred when they show a crime happening, we shouldn't be accused of inciting racial hatred when we talk about a crime that is happening. You've also got the point that they will try and say, well, you're just talking about somebody being murdered by a black on white murder. That's inciting racial hatred. But is it inciting hatred against animals when you talk about people that have been killed by animals, people that have been eaten alive by sharks? Does that mean you're inciting hatred against sharks? Well, no, because we know we don't hold the sharks responsible for what they're doing. What we do here at Radio Albion is we hold the government responsible for these things. It's the government that changed the immigration laws. It's the government that brought the people into our countries that brought with them acid attacks, terrorism, grooming gangs, and all the other problems that we have had through immigration. It's the government that promotes and pushes diversity, which means that they promote and push the idea of interbreeding with these other races, which can only have one end result, the destruction of our own white race. And what could be more hateful than that? And it does seem as if they've tried to interpret these laws in ways to try to prevent people from speaking up about these things. Now, the main law that is used in Britain is the Public Order Act of 1986. So we'll start by having a little look at that. And it says, distributing, showing, or playing a recording. A person who distributes or shows or plays a recording of visual images or sounds which are threatening, abusive, or insulting is guilty of an offence if he intends thereby to stir up racial hatred, or having regard to all the circumstances, racial hatred is likely to be stirred up thereby. So something has to be threatening, abusive, or insulting. And quite clearly, talking about new subjects that are generally being talked about in public because they're in the international news, that can't be seen as threatening or abusive or insulting. How can reality be insulting? How can IQ statistics, say, global IQ statistics from around the world, how can they be insulting? How can it be inciting hate to be pointing these things out? It's just pointing out reality. The actual term hate itself means extreme dislike or disgust. And as I pointed out, do people have extreme dislikes or disgust of sharks or venomous snakes? No, they don't. So how can we be accused of trying to encourage extreme dislike or disgust for people if we say talk about terrorism and terrorists? What we do here at Radio Album, we just say, well, this is part of somebody else's culture. This is part of somebody else's religion. This is part of somebody else's the way they think. We can't imagine what it's like to be them. They're quite clearly different to us. They have a different history, which shows that they think in different ways to us. In particular, I try to point the view that we shouldn't be holding these people to blame for what they do. It's just what they do. The people that we can hold to blame for it are our government. Now, I'm not sure how people portray their stuff that they put on BitChute, but they should be careful to make it clear that they are not trying to stir up hatred against whatever it is that they are talking about. I mean, if you want to affect change in your country, I would say that that is very different to trying to stir up hatred. And this act in itself, this Public Order Act, this came about at the time to try and stop rioting that was going on. It was really talking about violence to people and property. And this idea of stirring up hatred, it was seen as a precursor to this violence to people or to property. And it was put across as it was an attempt to prevent that from happening before it happens. And we here at Radio Albion certainly don't wish any violence against people or property, and we regularly speak out against it and condemn it when it happens. We've been warning that there would be violence to people or property from the non-white communities for years now, and now it's happening. We've got these Black Lives Matter riots and looting that's happening all across America, and we did have a small part of it here in Britain. And we'd been warning about that. We hadn't been warning about it because we wanted people to hate black people. We'd been warning about it because we wanted to prevent the violence from happening. And most of the time when people talk about a race war, that's what they're talking about. They're trying to prevent this from happening. We don't want to see a civil war on our streets. Obviously, we don't want white people to be hurt, but we don't want black people to be hurt or brown people to be hurt either. And it seems that that is always the end result of multiculturalism. That's always the end result of diversity. There's no hatred in this. There is a drive to encourage white people to love our own race and to stand up for our own race and to advocate for our own race. And that doesn't mean that you hate other races by doing that. Continuing with the first part of this Public Order Act here, it says, in this part, recording means any record from which visual images or sounds may by any means be reproduced, and references to the distribution, showing or playing of a recording are to its distribution showing or playing of a recording are to its distribution, showing or playing to the public or a section of the public. Now, it could be argued that what they were talking about here is speeches being played to a big audience, people going out and protesting. But if you've got individuals that are listening to things on BitChute or YouTube or wherever, then that's individuals that are listening to that at home. So this part about it being distributed to public or a section of the public, it's not being distributed. It's people that are making a choice to download something. It's not being spread around to everybody. They've got no choice but to see it, like it is with the television, like when you have a limited number of channels on the television, you are only limited. That's all you can watch if you want to watch the television. If people want to look at the internet, it's not like the only thing they can watch is BitChute or particular channels on BitChute. It says this section does not apply to the showing or playing of a recording solely for the purpose of enabling the recording to be included in a program service. It could be argued that BitChute is a program service, so it doesn't apply there. But I think what they are talking about there more is programs that are showing things such as if the BBC were to do a program about proscribed groups and they were to use a bit of National Action propaganda from years back when National Action were going, that would cover them. They could say, well, we're just using this. We're not intending to use it to stir up hate. We're intending to use it to show an example of what this group were like. It says, it is a defense for a person by whom the program was produced or directed who is not shown to have intended to stir up racial hatred, to prove that he did not know and had no reason to suspect that the program would be included in a program service, or that the circumstances in which the program would be so included would be such that racial hatred would be likely to be stirred up. Now, this is very interesting because it appears to be saying that if somebody takes your material and takes it out of context and deliberately uses it to try and stir up racial hatred, then you are not guilty. If you've shown that you are not trying to stir up racial hatred, and the mainstream media then takes some of your work out of context, it's the mainstream media that should, by rights, be in trouble for that. You should not be found guilty for that. That's what it is saying here. If you are shown to have not intended to stir up racial hatred, but some of your content is included in a program service in such a way that racial hatred, says here, would be likely to be stirred up, then that is a defense. I've pointed out in the past that when the mainstream media take hold of things that have been produced by nationalists and they put it on their websites or in their newspapers, they are deliberately trying to stir up hatred. They're trying to stir up hatred against the people that produced it. And also they're trying to say, look, that they're trying to stir up hatred here. And they do that by taking what nationalists say out of context and by exaggerating things. And of course, at Radio Albion, we have a disclaimer which points out exactly what we are trying to do. And also that our content is not aimed at the general public. It is aimed at nationalists who already have a certain understanding of the way that the world is. Well, let's have a look at the Human Rights Act, because all of this has to be balanced up with the Human Rights Act. And we have a Human Rights Act of 1998. In Britain, but it also ties in with a Human Rights Act for the world. Freedom of expression, it says. Number one, everyone has the right to freedom of expression. This right shall include freedom to hold opinions and to receive and impart information and ideas without interference by public authority and regardless of frontiers. This article shall not prevent states from acquiring the licensing of broadcasting, television, or cinema enterprises. And of course, that is talking about licensing for broadcasting services that people have no choice but to receive. And it's saying you have the freedom to hold opinions here and to receive and impart them. It means unpopular opinions. Because if you only have the freedom to hold popular opinions, then what kind of a freedom is that? Number two, the exercise of these freedoms, since it carries with it duties and responsibilities, may be subject to such formalities, conditions, restrictions, or penalties as are prescribed by law and are necessary in a democratic society in the interests of national security, territorial integrity, or public safety. And what it's saying there about the public safety bit, this is the bit about rioting and damage to public property. This is where this restriction comes in with this Public Order Act. For the prevention or disorder of crime, for the protection of health or morals, which is what Russia has done by preventing the promotion of homosexuality to minors. So Russia is protected by this Human Rights Act, and so are Hungary, who are trying to prevent that sort of thing, and also Poland. For the protection of the reputation or rights of others, so that would be slandering, libelling. For preventing the disclosure of information received in confidence, that would be doxing. Or for maintaining the authority and impartiality of the judiciary. So trying to prevent corruption there. So the only real way that can be applied to the Public Order Act is to stop people from inciting riots and mobs to go out and attack people. And that was the original meaning of this act. And obviously since then it's escalated so that they can try and send people to prison for just saying silly things basically on the internet. So is it a risk to public safety for the public to be told that, say, for instance, the black-on-white crime statistics, is that a public safety risk? Well, no, that's good because it means that the public know that they need to be on their guard when they are in certain areas. It means that they can put in place sensible defences to prevent themselves from becoming the victims of crime. But of course, the mainstream media will try and say, well, it harms these people's feelings for you to be pointing out these facts. But the reason why these facts are being pointed out is to get the government to change their policies. It's not because of any animosity to these people who carry out these crimes, because that is just the way they are. As I've pointed out so many times, you only have to look at their countries to see that. And we have Article 14 in this, and it says, prohibition of discrimination. The enjoyment of the rights and freedoms set forth in this convention shall be secured without discrimination on any ground such as sex, race, colour, language, religion, political or other opinion, national or social origin, association with a national minority, property, birth, or other status. And I would say that the state breaks that when they go after white people for saying or doing exactly the same things that black people do. Black rappers, for instance, will use the N-word a lot in their rap songs. And there was a white girl who posted the lyrics to a rap song in honor of a friend of hers who had died, and the lyrics had the N-word in it. And she was banned from Facebook, and she was actually taken to court, and she was prosecuted for this. And yet black people can use that term all the time. So this was discrimination against her on the basis of her race. I don't know how they argue that it isn't. But the main point of this is that we have to balance out this freedom of expression that we have, the freedom of speech that we have, with, as it says here, with duties and responsibilities. And our responsibilities are not to encourage hatred, incite hatred, incite violence. And our duties are to our people. Our duties are to talk about these things because we want to prevent harm coming to our nations and to our countries. And the people that were warning about immigration, people like Enoch Powell, he saw that as his duty to warn us. And everything that he warned us about has come true. I mean, it was only last last year that London had more murders than New York, and he predicted that it would be as bad as America. And it's every citizen's duty to do what's right and to try and prevent bad things from happening. And that's what we're doing here. We are trying to prevent bad things from happening. So you have to weigh up what you are talking about against this incitement to hate. You have to be careful that you're not inciting people to hate. And there's also the offence principle. Wikipedia says, the idea of the offence principle is also used in the justification of speech limitations, describing the restriction on forms of expression deemed offensive to society. Considering factors such as extent, duration, motives of the speaker, and the ease with which it could be avoided. And that's very important there, the ease with which it could be avoided. Because, again, if you're talking about BitChute, it's people making a conscious choice to go and watch that channel, or if you're talking about Radio Albion, it's people making a conscious choice to look Radio Albion up on the internet and to look up the program they want and to download it. People aren't being forced to see it. So if people choose to take offense, because don't forget, you can only choose to take offense, then that is because they wanted to take offense. And we have to have free speech for democracy. Britain is very proud of introducing free speech and democracy around the world, and free speech is essential to it. I've got a good quote here, again from Wikipedia. One of the most notable proponents of the link between freedom of speech and democracy is Alexander Michaeljohn. He has argued that the concept of democracy is that of self-government by the people. For such a system to work, an informed electorate is necessary. In order to be appropriately knowledgeable, there must be no constraints on the free flow of information and ideas. According to Michaeljohn, democracy will not be true to its essential ideal if those in power are able to manipulate the electorate by withholding information and stifling criticism. Michaeljohn acknowledges that the desire to manipulate opinion can stem from the motive of seeking to benefit society. However, he argues, choosing manipulation negates, in its very means, the democratic ideal. Again, because of these algorithms that we had on the internet, it used to mean on YouTube that the most popular videos were the ones that were most likely to be seen. So the videos that people had voted for were the ones that were more likely to float to the top. And also you had the idea that if you're interested in, your interest is in a particular area, those algorithms are then going to present more videos to you in that area. Nothing about, algorithms that are deliberately encouraging people to be racist or anything like that. It was the democratic ideal personified, really, in the internet originally, that they have now done away with. But you have to have freedom of speech in order to have a democracy. And as it says here, withholding information and stifling criticism, manipulating the internet by censoring. And that is what is going on now, with the UN compact on migration that a lot of countries have signed up to. Embedded in that is the idea that just criticism of immigration alone should be considered as hate speech. And the fact that that is put in there shows you that this whole idea that it is to protect the feelings of minorities is a falsehood. Because that is a government policy. That is directly criticizing government policy they are trying to say is hate speech. Which means if they do that, we don't have a democracy, because they have stifled criticism. They've used these laws, which are supposed to prevent violence happening. They've used them to prevent criticism of government. And as it says here, it says that this desire can stem from the motive of seeking to benefit society. It may well be that a lot of the people that were involved in bringing these laws in, that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to benefit society. But today it is being used to censor criticism. Now, in the United States, they have slightly different laws. Over here in Britain, it is inciting hatred that you mustn't do. And in America, it is inciting violence. In the United States, the standing landmark opinion on political speech is Brandenburg versus Ohio from 1969, this goes back to, expressly overruling Whitney versus California. In Brandenburg, the US Supreme Court referred to the right even to speak openly of violent action and revolution in broad terms. Quote, "Our decisions have fashioned the principle that the constitutional guarantees of free speech and free press do not allow a state to forbid or proscribe advocacy of the use of force or law violation, except where such advocacy is directed to inciting or producing imminent lawless action and is likely to incite or cause such action." So that means if it is targeted, if somebody is calling for violence against somebody or against a group, trying to organize it, then that is against the law in America. And what they were trying to do with the British law, with the Public Order Act, was to prevent riots and mob violence and the inciting of riots and mob violence, and before it actually got to that stage. So the two laws are pretty similar, really. But essentially, in America, they haven't made it illegal to incite hate. They've made it illegal to incite violence. And that's the main difference between the two. And obviously, you want to avoid doing either. And if you do see anything on BitChute that does look like it's illegal, then flag it up. Because we don't want Hope Not Hate taking that to the newspapers. We want BitChute to remove it so that BitChute can remain online. And we don't want Ofcom to be regulating them, because that would be a serious infringement upon the free flow of ideas and the criticism of government policy, which is essentially what they're trying to shut down, is criticism of the criticism of government policy and highlighting the effects of it under the flimsy excuse that it is inciting hatred, when the motive behind it is to prevent violence, is to prevent the riots and the terrorism and the grooming gangs and all the things that we see happening around us, and we know that segregation is the solution to it. And all we're doing is providing alternative solutions to the same problems that the government sees. The government sees these problems, but rather than going for the sensible solution, which is just to segregate and separate, they think that more of the same is going to solve the problem. And they think that by silencing people from talking about it, the problem is just going to go away. And it's not. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.